Hello, Exercises for Injuries blog readers. This is Rick Kasselge with another interview with a fitness professional. And today I'm interviewing Dean Somerset. Dean is going to chat to us about myofascial slings. So, Dean, I'll get you to introduce yourself a little bit to the audience.
Thanks, Rick. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Dean Somerset, as Rick mentioned. I'm a medical and rehabilitation fitness coordinator with a company called World Health. It's in Edmonton and Calgary, Alberta. I oversee about 400 personal trainers, as well as all the medical referrals in and out of the company, and try and make sure we have a continuum of care from injury all the way up to wellness, and just making sure that we're organized on the rehabilitation aspect to make sure that it's all nice and legal. I'm a Bachelor of Science in Kinesiology, Certified Strength and Conditioning Specialist, Certified Exercise Physiologist, and Medical Exercise Program Director, and probably about 500 or 600 letters back there, too. I've been a trainer for about 9 years now and work primarily with rehab, but I also do a lot with weight loss, muscle building, and sport performance.
Cool. So we were going to chat about fascia. So why is fascia important when it comes to exercise?
Well, there's a lot of information out there about fascia. And for anyone who doesn't know, fascia is essentially a layer of connective tissue that wraps around a lot of the body. Essentially, we're looking at myofascia, so muscle fascia. If you've ever had a chicken breast and you see the small bit attached to the big bit on the chicken breast, that connective film is actually fascia between the two. So it wraps up every single muscle and binds every single muscle to every other muscle in the chain. Now, if you look at how the body links together, we can see that the foot links into the ankle, which links into the calf, which links into the knee, into the thigh, into the hip, into the lower back, and actually all the way up through the entire body, and then across into the arms, into the front. Essentially, everything's connected, and the main reason that it's connected is the fascial chain system links everything together and makes it nice and strong. It's easy to think of how you can generate a lot of force by using multiple joint segments versus individual joint segments. One of the ways the body does that is by linking the force through this fascial network. So let's say we have a baseball player who's standing on the pitcher's mound and they try and throw a ball. If they're throwing the ball using fascia as essentially a balance and lever system, it generates a lot more force than if each individual muscle was to try and generate force on its own. Essentially, the sum is greater than the individual parts.
Okay.
So with fascia, the main reason that it becomes important is just like any other connective tissue. Say you have a muscle that gets a cramp, it doesn't work as well. Fascia, by its nature as well, can get a cramp, not necessarily a cramp, but it gets stiff and tight. Now, if it gets stiff and tight and doesn't move as well on the other muscle fibers, it creates a restriction. Anytime you have a restriction in the body, it reduces function, reduces strength, reduces the capacity to generate force and movement, and eventually can lead to injury. I've had a lot of clients that have tight feet, tight plantar fascia that generate into ankle tightness, that generates into knee pain. So by having any breakdown of the fascial chain along the entire body, it can generate problems somewhere along the line because of it. You can actually have shoulder pain because of tight hamstrings. So that's one of the fun things about the body is that every system is linked to every other system. Every muscle is linked to every other muscle.
Okay.
So that's where the main impetus on fascia comes from.
Okay. And what can you do to change fascia to make it better for your exercise program?
Well, essentially, whenever you're working on fascia, you want to be able to stretch it just like you would stretch a muscle. If the fascia itself doesn't stretch properly, then we have a breakdown. That restriction binds up like we were just talking about earlier. Essentially, what I'm talking about with the restriction, I'll back up a bit on that. Whenever the body goes through a period of stress or trauma, it generates inflammation. Those inflammation chemicals produce, or that inflammation produces chemicals that are almost like a super glue. Mix that with collagen fibers to strengthen up any area, and it creates this little ball of scar tissue that's known as a restriction or an adhesion. Adhesion pretty much just means sticky area. Now, if you ever go to a chiropractor and get active release done or anything like that, they're essentially working on breaking up those adhesions to make the body move better. Essentially, active release works on fascial systems. Now, at that point, if the body isn't working properly, we need to get it working again. Instead of just going to a chiropractor for everything, you can actually do something called self-myofascial release, which is commonly used with foam rollers or self-myofascial trigger balls or walking on uneven surfaces or just massage. Anyone who's ever had IT band problem in the running knows how bad this actually can be if you don't work it out properly. Have you ever had IT band problem?
Myself?
Yep.
Oh, yes, I have. Training for Ironman and hiking 5 months across the U.S. flared both of them up.
Not too fun, is it?
Not fun at all.
No, essentially, if anyone out there has never had IT band problem, anytime you bend your knee or wheel, the wheel eventually starts bending and not working flatly anymore. So if you create a couple of restrictions in the body and it pulls harder in those areas, everything that restriction is attached to doesn't work anymore. So to make a lot of the fascial chain work better, obviously we need to stretch it through things like foam roller work, but also through activation exercise. Things like using your lower body in conjunction with your upper body, using rotational movements, using diagonal planes, using straightforward exercises that work on myofascial swing system. Now, if anyone's had a chance to pick up a book called Anatomy Trains by Thomas Myers, he goes into great detail on this and talks about how the muscles from the balls of your feet are linked all the way up to the tip of your scalp and how to use those muscle fibers properly and how to integrate them. And you can also work on going from one arm all the way to the other through the fingertips, spiral lines that go from your neck all across your chest and your back down to your abs, and how your body actually links in to create force. This becomes really helpful for anyone who has lower back injuries, because if you want to get that lower back stronger, you want to use the left hip in conjunction with the right lat to strengthen. Essentially, if you look at the way that muscle fibers work, the lat fibers work diagonally from the high to the low point of the spine, where the glute fibers are almost in direct line with those lat fibers. Have you ever noticed that about the body, Rick?
Yes, I have. I go through that in the core stability for the rehab client.
Perfect. So that's one example of how the muscle fibers work. So if you're strengthening the glute on the left side as well as the lat on the right side, that actually creates tension across the thoracolumbar fascia and into the SI joint, which helps increase the strength of that region. You can also do that in the anterior compartment by using the oblique muscle system, the external oblique on the left side and the internal oblique on the right side to generate force. We can commonly do this by doing any kind of upper body rotational work through the pelvis as well. So if we start rotating the hips and rotating the shoulders towards each other, that works the internal and external obliques, which in turn creates strength through the core of the anterior compartment. We can do this on the lateral, we can do this on the posterior, the anterior, through spiral chains, pretty much everywhere through the body, to create a lot more strength than normal. To go back to that baseball pitcher analogy, essentially if he does that rotational work, he's integrating his internal oblique and his external oblique to generate rotational force, he's loading his left glute if he's a right-handed pitcher, and using his right pec to create that force. So he's using that entire fascial chain to generate a lot more force than if he was to throw from his right hand on his right foot. Now, if you want to look at how to strengthen the body up even more, we can look at things like a deadlift and adjust technique on how to do that properly so that we can generate as much force as possible. Sounds like a plan?
Yeah, sounds good. And then what can be some of the problems if you don't do anything to address fascia?
Well, like I said earlier, the fascia is integrating the entire body together. So if we're not addressing the body as an entire unit, then we're obviously not addressing the fascial areas of the body either. So if we're looking at individual muscle segments of the body, that's how we start looking at creating muscle imbalances and injury and dysfunction. So let's say we have a bodybuilder who's training just pecs without integrating them into the deltoid, without integrating them into the brachioradialis or the brachialis, then we're going to have somebody who has restrictions through the acromioclavicular or the coracoid process. By doing that, we lead the person into a higher risk of developing AC joint injuries, frozen shoulder, rotator cuff injuries, without taking into account any of the other posterior shoulder injuries. So essentially, by ignoring a lot of the ways the fascia system works and using the fascial swings, we're actually predisposing the body to injury. Anytime we look at not aligning the body properly to do the work it's supposed to do, it's going to wind up having dysfunction. I'm sure you've used a lot of examples of this in your courses that you teach, but one example I have is a client of mine who had really tight back and hips for about 6 months. We were doing all the active and dynamic stretching, passive stretching, assisted stretching, foam roller work right at the hips until I said, well, let's take a look at your feet. Had him do foam roller work and trigger ball work on his feet. Then through the peroneals, the calves, the hamstrings, the IT band, didn't even get to his hips, and as soon as he stood up, he said he had no pain anymore.
Wow.
He did was look at his lower leg.
Mm-hmm.
Fixed a lot of the fascial restriction down there, and all of a sudden, hip pain went away.
Cool.
Certainly enough, when we were doing that, he's always had high eyebrows. As soon as we did that, his eyebrows dropped. So yeah, then a lot of those restrictions and a lot of that surprised look went away.
Awesome. And then we're close to wrapping up the interview. Dean, do you have any last-minute tips for fitness professionals listening to the interview?
Yeah, if you have any chance to go online, take a look at anatomytrains.com.
Exactly. And where can people get more information about you, Dean?
Well, if they want, they could always look on Facebook. I got my profile up there. It's Dean Somerset. And if they want, I also have a blog up, too. It's 3spectrumwellness at .blogspot.com. I talked about actual myofascial change about 3 blogs ago. But in that, I also talk about psychology, methods of performance, a couple of fun things in there, too, like dress codes of certain clients and how funny they can be sometimes. Guys in their 70s wearing compression shorts and not realizing that they're not compressing all they should be. Always fun stuff like that. And also, if they're ever in Edmonton, they can always swing by any World Health Club and ask for me. I work at the downtown one, so it's pretty easy to get a hold of me there.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time, Dean.
Not a problem. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. And thank you very much, blog readers and listeners of ExercisesForInjuries.com. This is Rick Kasselge with another interview for you. I hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to swing by the blog ExercisesForInjuries.com and see what's new, or email me if you have someone that you think I should interview or have a topic for the blog that I should cover. If you're new to the blog or the first time listening, make sure you swing by the blog and pick up your $299 fitness education gift. There's a bunch of information there when it comes to the shoulder and rehabbing the shoulder and a fun BlackBerry workout manual that I created. So thank you very much for listening. We will see you on the blog very soon. Take care and bye-bye.